An hour later, Sexy Suite was filled to bursting with partygoers. Celebs, minor celebs, wannabe celebs, amp ones, hangers-on, parasites, bottom feeders, leeches, and subleeches. It was like slogging through a designer wear-clad mud hole. The music was too loud, the lights were too dim, and the alcohol, and Gates only knows what else, was flowing way too freely.
I think I'm gonna be sick, Kara.
Me too. I can't believe these people are drinking this trendy domestic champagne. The elite have palates like swine.
Big help there, Hara.
I'd spent every nano since my arrival very conspicuously tailing Sexy as she worked the room, chatting up, dressing down, or reveling in the adoration of the partygoers. She was the very jingly bell of a very jungle-like ball, and was loving every nano of it. She was also a very tempting target for any chicly dressed assassin who may have slipped in under the velvet rope. That made me more nervous than I can accurately describe, using overwrought pop cult metaphors.
Have you been able to scan the guests?
I've screened the scene, big guy. They may not be clean, but no one's packing heat and no one fits the hired killer profile.
Yeah, backstabbing's more this crowd's speed.
Sexy at the Nano was holding court with a pair of twin actors I half recognized from an HV action show. The three of them were laughing and flirting as they reminisced. Thanks to the directional microphone and my wrist interface, Hara and I could hear pretty much every word they were saying.
No, no. I dated Chad in January of that year. You, Brad, didn't come until February.
Chad was in March. January was when you were with our father, Thad.
That's right. I'm glad he survived that heart attack.
How many people are here, Hara?
208 currently. The problem is that there's a steady flow coming and going, so it's a little difficult to keep track of them all. I've tapped into all the security cams, though, so I'll let you know if anything or anyone looks suspicious.
What we need is another set of eyes on this room. Where is Carol, anyway?
She's in the northwest corner of the room with Smile, Sissy, and Misty.
I should talk to her. She has to get her head together and start helping us again. She also needs to know the truth about Smiles.
Well, if you want to speak with her, you better do it soon, because she and Smiles are about to leave together.
What?
They just excused themselves from the conversation with Misty and Sissy and are headed for the main door.
What is she thinking?
Beats me. She's the mind reader.
I have to stop them.
Before I could make my way over, I happened to notice Chad and Brad looming over Sexy. Their faces were red and their movements were threatening and anger-fueled. I aimed the wrist interface their way to hear what they were saying.
You mean you were with Brad that weekend?
He got me on the rebound, Chad. You had left me.
I was in the hospital.
Yeah, for elective surgery.
You told me you'd break up with me if I didn't get pec implants.
And you expected me to wait around forever?
Wait a nano. You said that we had meant something.
Well, it did. For that afternoon.
I can't believe you two-timed me with my own brother.
I didn't know he was your brother at the time.
We're twins!
Well, I wasn't looking at your faces.
Brad and Chad, both relatively angry now, each grabbed Sexy by an arm.
She's in trouble.
It's just a misunderstanding with a couple of old flames. I'm sure Sexy will handle this delicately.
Don't get all sentimental, guys. What we had wasn't that great. It turned out that your mother was the best of the whole bunch of you.
Our mother?
Okay, she's in trouble. I cast one last look at Carol and Smiles as they left together and started pushing my way back through the crowd toward Sexy. By the time I reached the unhappy threesome, things were starting to get ugly.
You're a two-timer, Sexy! A DOS-loving two-timer!
A three-timer, actually. No, wait, a four-timer! Counting Mom.
Why don't we take a nano and dial things back a notch, fellas?
I put a firm hand on a shoulder of each brother. Chad took umbrage at my hand and slapped it away without turning around.
Duh, you never cared about either of us, did you?
Define care.
You're heartless and cold and selfish.
Guys, this is not what I meant by dialing it back.
I put my hand back on their shoulders. Sexy, for her part, wasn't bothered by the brother's ire. If she was feeling any emotion other than contempt and a tinge of boredom, it didn't show on her face.
And you know what else, Sexy? Your music stinks! Yeah, I used to like it, but hearing you tonight, I realize it sounds like Vista.
What did you say?
That's it, guys. I pulled them away from Sexy. You're out of here.
You heard us, Sexy! You're a no-talented hack of a singer! Your music hoovers! Your songs hoover! And your voice hoovers!
That was all Sexy needed to hear. She launched herself at the boys like a she-cat from a catapult, giving Brad a short, sharp kick to the groin with her pointy-toed designer shoe. Brad crumpled to the ground like a golf bag with no balls. Chad lunged at Sexy, but I grabbed him before he reached her and pushed him hard to the ground.
What did you say about my music? What did you say about my voice?
When the other partygoers heard Sexy screaming and saw me holding Chad to the ground, they all just assumed that I was the troublemaker and attacked me en masse. Thinking on my feet, I really didn't want to get beat up again. I popped my gun into my hand and sent a low-powered blast into each and every speaker in the room. The 200-plus of the partygoers stopped dead in their tracks.
Party is over, and the last person to leave this room is going to get shot in their surgically improved ass.
I can't stay here, Zach. I can't bear it.
Sexy had been crying since the end of the party half an hour ago. Misty, Sissy, and Lusty had done their best to comfort her, but it was no use.
Where's Smiles, Misty?
We don't know. We tried netting him, but he's gone incommunicado.
Carol, too.
I didn't want to think about what was going on with Smiles and Carol, so I tried to focus on Sexy.
You're perfectly safe, Sexy. It's just us here.
Did you hear those things they said to me? It was horrible.
They were crazo jealous, Sexy. You know how guys get.
I have so many ex-boyfriends. What if they're all like that now?
Sexy, you're overreacting.
Actually, she does have a lot of ex-boyfriends. I've lost count.
Girlfriends, too.
I knelt down beside Sexy, who was face down on one of the couches, and gently touched her hair. It was softer than I expected, and thick enough to hide my hand.
It's been a long day, Sexy. You've been through a lot. Let's get some rest.
She turned and looked at me with moist, wide eyes.
I can't stay here. I don't feel safe.
We've sealed off the floor, Sexy. No one's gonna hurt you here.
I won't be able to sleep in this place, Zach. It's filled with bad memories and negative vibes.
The Elite's security system was top of the line. I knew that Sexy was safe here. Unfortunately, I also knew that there was no way she was going to be able to get any rest in her current state. Like it or not, for her own mental health, she needed to get out of the hotel. The problem was, I couldn't think of any place to take her that was more secure at the Nano. That's a lie. I knew of one place. I just didn't want to admit it.
Please help me, Zach. Please.
I held out my hand to her.
Hara, bring the limo up to the hoverport.
Where are we going?
Home.
I brought Sexy into my house with as little fanfare as possible. It was late at night, so there was no one out to see the limo land in the driveway, and Hara had Shriek take the vehicle back to the hotel as soon as we were clear. Thankfully, the household droids had cleaned the place up since Elektra's morning outburst, so the house was relatively debris-free. The new couch had even arrived, and the housebots had set it up in its designated spot in the living room. Hara had the house computer make Sexy some cocoa, and she sipped it as she sat on the new couch. I managed to deactivate the glowing UPC tag just before she sat down. She was still a little upset, but much less so than before, and she was calming down with every nano. She needed to rest, but I could tell by the look on her face that she wasn't quite ready to be alone yet. So I grabbed a cup of coffee and made myself comfortable in the easy chair across from her.
You live here alone?
My girlfriend stays here most nights, but she's staying at her own place for the time being.
You guys fighting?
Something like that.
It's not over me, is it?
Would it make you feel better or worse if I said that it was?
Better, actually.
All right, then. We're fighting over you. But I'd rather not discuss it.
She took another sip of her cocoa and curled her feet underneath her. She was wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt now, designer label, of course, and no makeup on her face. But the lack of accoutrement didn't diminish her beauty. Truthfully, she looked more attractive to me without all the glitz.
I'm not usually like this, you know.
Like what?
Scared, helpless, weak. I'm actually pretty strong.
I know you are.
You have to be strong in this business. It's totally cutthroat. People will kiss your feet to your face, but the nano your back is turned, they'll do anything they can to rip your heart out. You know what I mean?
I think so.
The anatomy metaphors don't really match.
I had to be strong to get to the top. I had to climb over a lot of people on the way. And once I got to the top, I had to keep climbing just to stay there. I'm constantly reaching higher to stay where I am. That kind of wears on a person after a while.
I imagine that it would. But again, your metaphors are a little...
You don't like my music, do you?
I'm not in your target audience.
That's one reason why I hired you, you know. I knew you wouldn't coddle me because of who I am. I knew you'd be professional. I knew you'd be honest with me.
I appreciate...
Like Sammy.
Huh?
Sammy's the guy who helped me find my voice. He's a genius. There's no denying that. I owe him so much professionally. But I think I owe him even more on a personal level. Does that make sense?
Actually, no. That makes even less sense than your metaphors.
Oh, I know he's odd, but once you get to know him, you see what a wonderful giving spirit he has. He's honest, he's nurturing, he takes care of me. That's why I'm still so wrung out by the incident at the party. He's not here to comfort me.
I don't think we should talk about Sammy right now. You've had a rough day. I think you should get some sleep.
She smiled, finished her cocoa, and then got up and stretched. Her t-shirt crept up her midriff as she reached high, and her sweats hung low on her hips, revealing a little more flesh than I was comfortable seeing, especially when she turned around and moved to the base of the stairway.
The bedroom's upstairs, right?
I nodded.
I'm assuming that the bed's large enough for two?
I got up from my chair and took a step toward her. She seemed a little disappointed when I took the empty cup from her hand and turned away.
I'm sleeping on the couch.
You and your girlfriend are already fighting because of me. You might as well make the fight over something worthwhile.
Like I said, Sexy, I'm not your target audience.
Your loss.
She turned and walked up the stairs into the bedroom and closed the door behind her.
What about your hologram pal?
Good night, Sexy.
The couch turned out to be not at all conducive to sleeping. The fact that Sexy was upstairs on the other side of the bedroom door didn't help matters either. But I managed to fall into a fitful sleep just before dawn. It didn't last long, of course.
Zach. Zach. You need to get up now.
I stirred slowly awake, opened my eyes, and saw her standing over me. Hara had outfitted her hologram in a long white pajama shirt with thin pink vertical stripes. The shirt hung to mid-thigh, which was good because she wasn't wearing any pants.
Why are you dressed like that?
Because it's morning.
Hara, you don't sleep. You have no need to be wearing holographic pajamas.
I thought it might make you feel more at ease.
I would be more at ease if you were wearing pants.
I'll take that as a compliment.
She changed her hologram back to her business suit.
You'll need to get up now.
What time is it?
Shortly after 6.
Why do I need to get up now?
Because Dr. Gavada will be here in approximately 2 minutes.
What?
I rolled off the couch in a mild panic and reached for my pants. Unfortunately, they weren't there.
Why is she coming here so early?
I'm not sure. According to the work schedule at her clinic, she's not scheduled to be on call until 9:30.
This is not good.
However, my woman's intuition is telling me that it may have something to do with the footage running on Entertainment This Nano this morning that shows you and Sexy leaving the hotel together last night with your arms around each other.
What?
I tripped over the blankets at my feet.
It looks like your good buddy Shriek has been working both sides of the fence. The pictures were clearly shot from inside the limo. He probably sold them for a small fortune.
That little weasel!
He also got some good shots of you bringing Sexy here.
Aw, Gates.
So I'm thinking that might explain why Dr. Gavada's in such a hurry to get over here.
Wake Sexy up. We have to get her out of here.
It's been on the news already, Zach. You're not going to be able to hide this from Elektra.
I'm not trying to hide it. I'm trying to protect Sexy. There's no telling what Elektra will do to her once she gets here.
Gee, I never thought of that.
And will you please tell me where my pants are?
The maid bot put them in the wash last night. They were stained with blood, salsa, and overpriced champagne.
Ah, Doss. I need a new pair.
Everything else is in the bedroom.
I heard the bedroom door open just then, and Sexy walked unsteadily down the stairs into the living room, stretching her lithe muscles and rubbing her eyes.
What's all the commotion?
In retrospect, I suppose that I shouldn't have been surprised, but since I was under a good bit of pressure at that nano, I think I can be forgiven for losing my head just a little upon first glimpse of the freshly awakened Sexy Sprockets.
Sexy, you sleep in the nude.
She looked down at her naked body unashamedly.
Wouldn't you if your body was this hot?
And that, of course, is when Electra walked through the front door. In retrospect again, I guess you could say that Electra took that initial nano fairly well. But only because she didn't have a firearm handy.
I'm going to step back outside. I'm coming back into this house in exactly 5 minutes. When I do, I am going to break the hands of everyone who is not wearing pants.
Is that your girlfriend?
That's her.
She is hot for an old lady.
Sexy and I got dressed remarkably quickly, and Hara contacted Misty, Sissy, and Lusty, none of whom were happy to be awakened so early, and convinced them to come and pick up Sexy in the hover limo. Then Hara made herself scarce as well. True to her word, Electra had waited outside for 5 minutes before coming back inside the house. She sat in the easy chair and didn't say a word until after Sexy had gone, which gave me about 15 very uncomfortable minutes of silence. And when the limo finally lifted off, leaving her and I alone, the feeling of dread in the pit of my stomach felt like a black hole. Now, I know this looks bad. Electra's face was stoic as she activated the computer screen on the wall and switched it to multi-screen mode and brought up Entertainment This Nano, Instant Buzz, Before It Happens News, and the Tattler Network. I was pretty certain that I was the top story on everything but the cooking channels. She muted the sound, for which I was thankful. The last thing I needed to hear at that hour of the morning were the smug assertions of entertainment reporters. But the visuals were painful enough on their own. Grainy nighttime footage, obviously shot through the open window of the limo, of me and Sexy leaving the hotel together. She had been unsteady, so I'd helped her down the stairs and across the hoverport with an arm around her shoulders. She'd put her head on my shoulders and an arm around my waist to keep from falling. But on the grainy dark recording, we looked like two lovers on the lam, stealing a secret nano. The footage was the same outside my house, only this time taken from above as the limo lifted off. Me leading Sexy into my house, our arms around one another, and then stumbling in through the door. I knelt beside Electra as she continued to stare at the monitor.
Electra, nothing happened.
I know.
You do?
She slowly got out of the chair and walked into the bedroom.
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
I followed her. She pulled a suitcase from underneath the bed and began packing up some of her things, stuffing cosmetics, lotions, and clothes haphazardly into the bag.
Please don't do this. I can explain.
I know you can explain. There's always an explanation. I'm just tired of hearing them.
I understand. After this case is over...
After this case is over, there'll just be another one. And another after that.
Electra, I'm a private eye. This is what I do. I can't give it up just because it makes you uncomfortable.
She turned to me quickly.
How many cases have you taken from ugly women?
What?
You heard me. There are a lot of women out there who aren't stunningly beautiful. They must have troubles, too. How many jobs have you done for them?
You're being ridiculous.
Name one. Come on. Just name one.
Electra?
Because I can list the beautiful ones without any problem. There was Bibi Starr and Ona Thompson. There were actually 4 beautiful women in that one.
I sort of saved the world on that one as well, you might recall.
Then there was the porn star Fever Dream, the heiress Giselle Dumas, the jilted wife, what was her name? Fifi Lefebvre? I can go on all day talking about the clients you've had who have been drop-dead gorgeous. Can you name one for me who wasn't?
There was the Pacheco kidnapping case. The mother in that one was no looker.
She hired you to find her beauty queen daughter.
True, but the woman who actually hired me wasn't beautiful.
How about a man, then? Have you ever taken a case from a man?
Men don't hire private eyes. It's against our nature. Like asking for directions or putting the seat down.
In other words, no male clients.
She closed the suitcase with some bits of clothing still poking up from the sides and carried it out of the room. I followed her as she headed toward the front door.
There have been companies.
Oh, you mean like the lingerie manufacturer? or the escort agency?
Those were legitimate cases.
You see the pattern, though, don't you?
I see my clients make you jealous when they shouldn't.
And you act surprised when Harv suddenly decides to become a woman.
What does that mean?
I'm not a prop, Zach. I'm not a set piece in your playboy tough guy fantasy life that comes and goes. I'm a living, thinking person, and I happen to love you more than anything else. Not for what you do for the life you lead, but for who you are. And yet, after all we've been through together, you still don't understand how these sorts of things make me feel. How all this marginalizes me and what we have. You want me to be a walk-on in your life, a recurring character on the cast list who can provide a little comic relief whenever you come home from your zany, adventure-filled life. Well, I can't be that. Not if I want to be happy.
Out of all the things that I have seen in my life, Electra crying had not been one. After all this time, I'd learned how to deal with the many forms of her anger. The violent outbursts, the seething yet controlled episodes, the unspoken passive-aggressive periods. But I'd never dealt with tears before. And they scared me more than anything, because I didn't know what they meant.
You're wrong. I do love you. Just as much as you love me. And I'll prove that to you any way you want me to. You want me to quit this case? Fine, I will. You want me to stop taking female clients? I'll do that too. I'll take on ugly women only if that's what it takes to prove it to you. Just tell me how to do it, Electra. Tell me what you want and I'll do it, I swear. Just tell me what you want me to do.
She took her hand off the doorknob and stood motionless for a long nano, long enough for me to begin to hope again. Then she spun around.
You're the private eye. You figure it out.
I sat on the floor for a while, thinking and holding my jaw gently with my hand. It's hard to describe exactly what I was feeling at the nano, other than pain, but I suppose utter confusion comes closest. Hara's hologram appeared, still wearing her business suit, for which I was grateful. I don't think I would have reacted well to a nurse's outfit kind of gag.
The girl's got a mean left hook.
She knelt beside me and looked at my jaw.
Somehow I knew that the scene was going to end in violence. Frankly, though, I thought she'd take it out on the couch again. I've scanned your mandible. It's not broken. Do any of your teeth feel loose?
No.
Small comfort. You might have a mild concussion, but there's not much we can do about that at the nano. Here, take a seat on the couch. I'll get some ice.
As the maid bot brought an ice pack for my jaw, I climbed onto the couch.
So why exactly did she hit you on the way out?
I'm not sure. Partly because she's jealous of my clients.
Sexy tends to bring that out in people.
Not just of sexy. She's jealous of all of them. They marginalize her.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Women.
Hara stepped into the kitchen and personally brought me another cup of coffee.
My hard light capabilities are getting stronger. I can hold up to half a kilo of weight now. A little more time and I might be able to hit you myself.
Oh, good. You should get your name on the waiting list. I took the coffee and tried sipping it without moving the ice pack from my jaw, but failed miserably, dribbling some out of my shirt. I finally gave up and just put the ice pack on the coffee table.
I don't get it. Electra's one of the smartest women I've ever met. She's tough, she's strong, she has a career. Why would she feel threatened just because I have a good-looking client?
Because we're more emotional than men. We use different parts of our brains to process certain stimuli. It's biology.
That sounds like a huge generalization.
It is. Not every woman would react that way to your lifestyle.
You don't. I mean, not that you're a woman, but you know.
I'm as much a woman as I ever was a man, Zach.
She reached out and gently stroked the side of my head with her solid, light hand, running her fingertips through my hair. There was a bit of an electric tingle to her touch. It felt good.
But you're right. I wouldn't react that way. I haven't so far, have I?
She was in full Rita Hayworth mode now. Her hair was thick and lustrous, mussed gently in a subtle, sensual way. Her skin was creamy and smooth to look at, free of blemishes of any kind. And her lips were full and red. For a nano, I thought they were getting larger, but then I realized that was wrong. They were just getting closer.
She was leaning toward me, lips parted, moving in for a kiss. And I realized then that I actually wanted her to. Then her fingers gently slid down my face and touched my jaw where Electra had hit me.
Ow!
Sorry, did I hit the bruise?
Yeah. It's a little tender, I guess.
Tender? You're lucky that she didn't break your jaw.
Yeah, well, it could have been worse, right? She could have been wearing a ring. She's not wearing a ring.
Who's not?
I felt my face flush as my confusion turned to shame. And for the first time in my life, all the between-the-lines gibberish that women talk about began to make sense.
Gates, I'm a louse. I take these cases. I show up on the news with all these other women. How's she supposed to react to that? What kind of reassurance have I ever given her for that not to bother her?
What?
Sure, I tell her I love her, but what does that mean? I've never proven it to her. I've never shown her any commitment.
The seriousness of the nano hit me full force, and I got to my feet.
I have to go find her.
What do you mean?
Electra. I have to get her back before it's too late.
Zach, she broke your couch. She hit you in the jaw.
She had to. I gave her no choice.
How? Your couch attacked her? Zach, you're acting crazy. Well, more crazy than normal.
I love her, Hara.
You mean to tell me that you still love her even after all the grief she's given you?
I grabbed my coat and hat from the rack and headed quickly toward the door.
There's nothing else she can do, Hara. She gives me grief because she loves me.
What about me, then?
Hara rose to her feet.
Don't I give you grief?
There was more pure emotion in those final five words than I'd ever heard Hara, or Har for that matter, utter before. And I realized that my world was getting much more complicated than I could ever have imagined. I stepped back into the living room. Hara was still standing by the couch. Her eyes were wide, a mix of confusion and disbelief. Awkward does not begin to accurately describe the nano.
Hara.
I just don't understand, Zach.
Quite honestly, neither do I. That's the way love is, I guess.
Oh, please don't go into bogey mode on me now.
I'm sorry, but it's all I know. You're a wonderful woman, Hara. Even without the flesh and blood. You're a geek's wet dream, and you're one hell of a sidekick. You're more Bacall than I am bogey. I mean that.
But you still love Electra?
This isn't about Electra.
What's it about, then?
I paused for a nano, weighing my options. I've been walking too many tightropes in my relationships of late, avoiding the real issues and hiding behind smaller, more trivial things. And by doing so, I had royally messed everything up. I decided then I wouldn't do that anymore. It was time to be honest.
It's about Harv. The truth is that I miss him. He was annoying and condescending and more of a nuisance than any machine should ever be, but he was my friend, Hara. Gates, he was my best friend. You're wonderful and you're sexy, but I'm sorry, it's not the same. I miss Harv, and I want him back.
Hara refused to speak at first. She refused to look at me or even move. For a nano, I thought her hologram was stuck.
Hara?
She turned to me, caught my gaze with hers for the briefest of nanos, and then swallowed hard and turned away.
I don't know how to take this, Zach. I need to think about it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll see you around.
I'll be here.
She nodded and bit her lips slightly in what appeared to be an attempt to hold back emotion.
Goodbye, Zach.
Her hologram dissolved, and she disappeared. Then the skin around my left eye went numb, and my wrist communicator went dead. Hara was gone. I was alone. Hara out of my head left me a little more empty than I thought it should. It also left me without any way of piloting my hovercraft. Just in case you've forgotten, I have a thing about heights. So I rolled out my old-school transportation, a 1954 baby blue Kaiser Darren. I know what you're thinking, that I'm masking my insecurities about the women in my life by fixating on my car. Well, you're probably right, but I didn't have time right then to properly analyze myself. My heart told me to go out and find Electra, but Hara's disappearance seemed the greater danger, and one where I could enlist some help, so my first stop was Randy's lab. Needless to say, Randy didn't take the news well.
What do you mean, Hara's gone?
I mean she's gone. She's not in my head, and my wrist interface is dead. Randy checked his own computer.
She's not here either. What did you do to her?
Nothing, really. I just said that I missed Harv.
What? Why did you do that?
I don't know. It was just part of the natural flow of the conversation.
What kind of conversation were you having?
Well, it started out about Elektra and me, and then it sort of morphed into Hara and me, and then we sort of almost, kissed.
I'm sorry. Did you say that you kissed Hara?
Almost, yeah. It was sort of a mutual thing.
You mean Hara? The holographic computer interface for your computer. You kissed her.
I didn't actually kiss her.
But you were going to.
She started it.
Zach, do you know what you've done? I mean, aside from bringing the man-and-machine paradigm to a new moral low?
What?
I don't know what! That's how bad this is! First of all, the interface in your head is a permanent access module to Hara's systems. She shouldn't have been able to turn it off. It's the same with my system here. She shouldn't have been able to break contact. She shouldn't be able to leave. But she's gone.
Where do you think she went?
Well, that's the problem. She could be anywhere. It's like she's not just a computer anymore. She's a consciousness, and she could be anywhere.
Well, that's good then, right? She's evolved. Randy shook his head as though he were talking to a child and turned back to his computer keyboard.
I did some searching into Harv's systems since we last spoke. I found that he was doing some interesting side projects that were outside his program parameters. He was researching society, human culture, human history, psychology, and human technology interaction in general.
What was he doing?
I don't know, but I don't think it bodes well. Do you know that he wrote a joke?
A joke?
I found it in a more accessible region of memory, so it's relatively new. It was probably written shortly before he became Hara. Why are there no round boxes at the Archimedes Bakery?
What's the punchline?
I don't know. It was hidden elsewhere in his system. Probably somewhere deeper, possibly encrypted. I think he wanted to protect the punchline.
Oh, yeah, you have to. The worst thing you can do is tip the punchline. The whole joke's worthless if you do that. Who's Archimedes?
An ancient Greek mathematician.
Huh. Kind of an esoteric topic for a joke.
Not for Harv.
Okay, so he wrote a joke. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Comedy is dangerous, Zach.
No, comedy is hard. Love is dangerous.
Not from a psychological standpoint. Humor is a mask for insecurities and other psychological problems. This was a cry for help. I don't think it's a coincidence that he became Hara shortly after this.
Randy, I think you're blowing this way out of proportion.
Hara is quite likely the most powerful computer on the planet, Zach. Remember all those computers that Harv hacked into for you over the years? Well, Hara can do that too, without either of us telling her to. Do you realize what kind of havoc she can wreak if she chooses to?
Do you think she'd do anything dangerous?
Have you ever known a scorned woman to act irrationally?
Randy?
No, seriously. I'm asking because I haven't known that many women, and I don't think I've ever actually scorned one. But I've heard they can be unstable. Is that true?
Well, yeah, but no more than men, I guess.
How did Hara seem to you when you last saw her?
I thought of the look of confusion and pain on her face when I told her that I loved Elektra. I thought of her biting her lip in an effort to hold back tears when I told her how much I missed Harv. Only one word came to mind. Heartbroken.
I've been working on some code. I was hoping that we wouldn't have to use it, but I think you'd better have it handy, just in case.
What kind of code?
It's a virus. Give me your wrist interface.
Randy?
Give me your wrist interface, Zach.
I took the interface off my arm and handed it to Randy. He removed a memory card from the back and slid it into his own computer console. Then he pressed the download button. A download meter appeared on his screen, slowly moving from red to green.
The virus is designed to attack the higher functions of an artificial intelligence, surrounding it with firewalls and permanently wiping out the memory. It's like a combination of Ebola and brain cancer for computers.
You want me to kill Hara?
No, I don't. But I think you should be prepared in case we need to.
Can't you just say Kaflooey or whatever and take her offline?
She's not in the system anymore. The failsafe will no longer work. That was only designed for short-term stoppage anyway. It wouldn't hold her long. She may even have defenses against it by now.
So what do we do?
The computer signaled that the download was complete. Randy took the card from the computer and reinserted it into the wrist interface. He touched a few sensors on the unit's control pad and then handed it back to me.
I've downloaded the virus into your wrist interface. Hara probably won't stay away from you for long. She'll reestablish contact through the interface at some point. If, during that time, she seems like she's becoming dangerous, you'll just need to hit the download button to inject the virus into her system. It will immobilize her and then systematically destroy her memory.
Randy!
Remember, the sign that she's completely broken free of her parameters is when she refuses to follow a direct command. That's when she becomes a danger.
I'm not gonna kill Harv. Randy's expression was more serious than I'd ever seen it. His face was wan, his eyes were nearly lifeless with resignation, and his shoulders drooped as though they were weighted down with a kiloton albatross.
I hope you get the chance to make that choice, Zack.
I'd had no luck all morning reaching Carol and her communicator, so I took a gamble and tried calling Sexy at the Elite, hoping that Carol was with her. Unfortunately, the only person I could get on the vid was Smiles.
What is it, Johnson?
I need to talk to Carol, Smiles. Where is she? His face was hard to see on the wrist interface, which is what I was reduced to using for mobile communication since the Kaiser didn't have an onboard computer. It didn't help matters that I was driving during the call, so I had to split my attention between the interface and the road.
She's unavailable at the Nano. I'll have her call you back.
I want to speak with her now, Smiles. Put her on, or I'll drag her out from wherever you're holding her when I get there.
She's helping Sexy meditate. Sexy was quite tense after what you put her through last night and this morning.
Oh yeah, last night. I guess I must have missed you at the party. Too bad you left before all the trouble started.
I was exhausted and decided to call it an early night.
Carol too?
I don't think that's any of your concern.
Oh, I think it is. Carol is my employee. You taking her away from Sexy without letting me know put Sexy in danger last night.
I see. So, keeping Sexy safe from a couple of Holovision actors was too much for you to handle on your own?
Stay away from Carol, Smiles. I can't make myself any clearer than that.
That's something you should discuss directly with Carol, I'm afraid. She and I are developing a business relationship, which I believe she is well within her rights to do.
You mean the kind of business relationship that you have with Sexy? Don't even think about using Carol that way.
I don't know what you mean, Johnson.
I know all about it, Smiles. I know what you do to Sexy.
What do you mean?
The meditation chamber, the ambient radiation, the psionic augmentation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was starting to squirm now, and I could almost see the beads of sweat forming on his brow. I had to admit I was enjoying it.
Sexy's a psi. You know it, and you've been using her abilities to sell her music from day one.
Oh, that's insane.
Say whatever you want, but both you and I know it's true.
People buy Sexy's music because of the beauty of her voice and the artistry of her songs.
Sexy couldn't hit a clear note with a sledgehammer. Her music's bio-waste, and you know it. The only reason anyone buys her music at all is because you're using her psionic abilities to brainwash the audience.
Smile's grin reappeared on his face, this time with extra smug, and the corners of his mouth went so wide that my monitor wasn't big enough to contain his cheeks. It was the type of grin that a cobra gives a paralyzed mouse just before he swallows it, the grin of knowing that the prey's fate is sealed. This time around, he was the cobra and I was the mouse, because when he stepped aside, I saw Sexy's face fill my interface screen.
What did you say about my voice?
Knowing that Sexy's diatribe would go on forever, I turned the sound off and just nodded occasionally to let her know that I was still there. But even without the audio, her intent was clear. My services as bodyguard were no longer required, which was fine with me. Sexy had brought nothing but grief to my life from the nano I met her, and the sooner she was out of my life, the better off I'd be. Tony and his men could protect her now. Of course, that still left Carol. Smile said that he had put her directly onto Sexy's payroll as an additional bodyguard and backup dancer. I knew that having her around would help keep Sexy safe, but the idea of Smiles getting his hooks into Carol made my stomach turn. I realized I had to get her out of there, and do it quickly. But I had a couple of other things to do first. Even in the bright morning sun, the joyless shadows of the alley hid the squalid storefront entrance. The air was fetid and smelled of old trash, I hated leaving the Kaiser in the open in this kind of neighborhood, but I had little choice and even less time. The thick polymer of the door was greasy to the touch, caked with dirt and slime from Gates only knew where. I popped my gun into my hand and used the barrel to knock.
Go away.
The voice came from a small speaker hidden within the door itself.
I need to see Bushy.
There is no Bushy here.
Bushy, it's Zack. Open the door.
Last warning. Go away.
A metal panel above the door slid open, and a large blaster on a wall-mounted swivel emerged from the building and pointed itself directly at me.
How do I know that it is really Zack?
Who else would come to this dump pretending to be me?
You come here pretending to be Zack just to insult me?
I am Zack, you senile old fart. And I came here to pick up my package. Insulting you is just a bonus.
Why do you want the package?
Because the time has come.
Really?
Yeah, really, Bushy. Now open the damn door before I blast you and your fake gun to smithereens.
The blaster retracted into the wall. After a few locks were opened, the door opened a crack and I saw a weary, dark eye peek through.
Is it really you, Zack?
It's me.
Oh, you've put on some weight.
Yeah, and I've lost a little hair. I'm guessing you've aged as well, and you weren't any prize to begin with.
The door opened another half a meter, and Bushy stood fully in the opening. He was a short, dark-skinned man, rail thin, with eyes as black as onyx, and a huge, well-coiffed head of, obviously fake, silver hair.
Huh. I was wrong. You look pretty good after all.
He smiled and unconsciously ran his hand through his hair. It shifted a little on his head, but I didn't say anything.
You really need the package? This is not a drill?
It's the real deal.
He nodded grimly as he ushered me inside.
It's in the vault.
Bushy's vault was 6 stories underground. I'm not sure what, if anything, was on the other 5 stories. He ushered me down the stairs, activated the DNA-encoded lock, and opened the big metal door. The vault was brightly lit and made entirely of metal that shone coldly under the halogen lights above.
Your package is in drawer C, I think.
He led me across the room.
C for Zack.
The drawer was protected by another DNA-encoded lock. This one had 2 activation pads, one for me and one for Bushy.
Are you sure you want to do this?
I nodded, and in unison we touched our fingers to the pads. The indicator light turned green, and I pulled the small drawer from its housing. It was as I remembered it, about 0.5 meter square and lined with lead. Inside it was the small black box.
How long has it been?
22 years, I think.
That's a lot of rent you owe me.
I'll send you a check.
I lifted the black box from the drawer. It fit nicely into my hand, and I gripped it tightly for a long nano, hefting its weight, both physical and metaphorical. Then I stuck it into my pants pocket and turned away.
Thanks, Bushy.
He stopped me with a hand on my wrist. His grip was surprisingly strong. When I turned to him, his face was serious. Then he hugged me tightly and kissed me once on each cheek.
Steve Speed, my friend. You go first into the great unknown.
Don't worry. I'll send you a postcard.
It took me 3 hours to find Electra. That's another downside to not having Harv around to do the legwork. She called in sick for work at the clinic, sick of me, I guess. She wasn't at her place, and she wasn't at any of her favorite tapas bars. I figured that the only place left for her to be at the Nano, ironically, was my house. A quick check of the house computer confirmed that someone had entered the house using Electra's code, and that the new couch had been broken into small pieces. That pretty much confirmed it. I pulled up to the house in the late afternoon. A few dark clouds had rolled in, and the once sunny day turned cool. I parked the Kaiser in the driveway and entered the house sheepishly, flowers in one hand, takeout food in the other.
Hi.
She was packing her things into boxes, taking knickknacks and photos off the shelves and walls. I'd become used to seeing her breaking things, but the sight of her actually packing things up underscored for me how serious the situation had become.
I thought you were working.
I quit the job today. Actually, I was fired. Turns out that Sexy doesn't like criticism.
I'll go then. I just came by to pack up my things and break a few of yours.
Please don't go.
I'd rather not pack up my things with you here, Zack.
No, I mean,
Don't go.
It's too late for that, Chico.
She stared first at the flowers and then turned away. It's only too late if we allow it to be. My watch says there's still time.
Your watch is slow.
You're probably right. I just wanted to let you know that I understand how you feel. It might be too late now, like you said, but I understand how all my stuff, the cases, the clients, the news stories, I know how that made you feel. And I'm sorry.
Por favor, Chico. I'm not strong enough to have this conversation now. Let me just take the stuff I've packed and go.
At least, wait until after the rain stops.
What rain? It's supposed to be sunny all week.
The air in the house suddenly felt charged. Just breathing it left a bitter, acidic taste in my mouth. The Electra was across the room now, nearing the front door. I could see the sparks of static electricity jumping toward her as her feet moved across the carpet. She was reaching for the doorknob, her hand just inches from the metal.
Electra, don't!
I ran toward her, sparks flying from my feet as I moved. I leapt as she turned and hit her broadside as the door opened. We fell to the floor together, me spinning us as we fell to ensure that she'd land on the bottom with my body shielding hers.
What was that?
Ion cannon blast. Very bad. I looked outside through the gaping hole in the wall where the front door had once been and saw a milky white wall of energy pulsing just outside the house. It was undulating like a wall of clear gelatin, but I knew that it was a lot stronger.
A force field cage.
You're kidding.
We're trapped in here.
We ran quickly to the central computer console. I reset the alarms and tried to bring up a status report on the house systems.
Most of the security system is down.
Can Hara reboot it?
I don't have Hara anymore.
What do you mean?
Never mind. Get to the weapons closet and grab some heavy ordnance. We might be in a little trouble here.
Great. This is exactly the way I want to end our relationship, Chico. With a firefight.
Hey, it'll give you a chance to bring more of my stuff.
She scrambled across the hall to the weapons closet and punched in the security code. The door slid open and she pulled two laser rifles and two hand blasters off the rack. She tossed a rifle to me, stuck both blasters in her belt, then grabbed the second rifle for herself.
What's that?
Perimeter alarm. We're under attack.
No tweets, Sherlock. From where?
I don't know. I never heard this alarm before.
You don't know your own alarms?
Harv set the system up. He usually keeps track of these things.
Check the console.
I checked the security screen on the house computer and didn't like what I saw. We have an intruder.
In the house?
No, in our airspace.
What does that mean?
We turned our eyes skyward, then looked at one another from across the room. It means we better duck. Electra and I peered at one another from our hiding places. She was in the weapons closet, I was under the comm, and scanned the damage. There was a perfectly square crater in the living room floor. It seemed odd at first, but it made sense when we looked up, because it matched the perfectly square holes in the rooftop, the second floor ceiling, and the ground floor ceiling. Whatever had fallen from above had gone straight through the house, settled in the basement, and was now hidden beneath a couple layers of rubble that had once been part of my house. I have a bad feeling about this.
You're as sharp as ever, Chico.
Suddenly, the debris began to rise. We powered up our weapons and trained them on the crater as the movement continued. Whatever was down there was lifting itself out. The debris slid away as the thing rose, revealing a slate-gray metal cube, 4 meters tall, wide, and deep, rising toward us on thick, hydraulically powered legs. 2 nanos later, it was on the first floor, standing rock solid on the foundation of its own legs.
What is it?
As if on cue, a tiny hatch in the top of the box slid open, and a thin pole emerged, extending 1.5 meters high. Then, a rigid, multicolored banner sprang from the pole and mechanically waved a flag at us. 3 words were printed large on the surface, in glowing red letters. Let's kill Zack.
Roundtree.
The box split open suddenly, like the display case of a pushy traveling salesman, and 2 dozen gray figures leapt out. They were human-like in form, but thin, long of limb, with no fingers or toes, and completely featureless of face. Half came at me, and half went for Electra. We didn't wait to see what they wanted, choosing instead to say hello with our guns. Electra hit the one closest to her with a blast from the laser rifle, cutting it neatly in half. I shattered the one nearest me into pieces with a blast to the chest.
Two nanos into the fight, and we'd already taken out two attackers. I was starting to feel good about our chances. Which is, of course, when things turned very, very bad. The torso half of the attacker that Elektra had destroyed started to shake. A nano later, two legs popped out of a bottom ant, and it was as good as new. Likewise, the bottom half grew a torso.
What the?
Mine was even worse. Each piece of the thing that I'd blown apart was shaking and growing itself a new body. We were now four nanos into the battle, and we'd increased the number of attackers by nearly half.
What are these things?
Grey goo.
What?
A new weapon. Randy told me about it once. It's intelligent inorganic matter, a single organism with sort of a hive mentality, composed of self-replicating circuitry, like a giant computerized amoeba programmed to attack a specific target.
I'm guessing that we're the targets.
The goo attackers, moving slowly now, began to surround her.
What do we do?
Head up!
I flipped my laser rifle over and hit the nearest goo in the head with a butt end. It tumbled over into the figures behind it, and their long legs and arms got tangled up with one another. I doubt it hurt them, but it slowed them down and gave me some time to hit a few more.
That's your answer for everything.
She knocked one goo off its feet with her rifle, and then leg swept three more to the ground. It was clear that our rifles wouldn't be of much use in this case. As hand-to-hand weapons, they were a little clumsy, especially for Elektra, who was having trouble with her bulk. So I decided to give her something a little more suitable for the fight. I fought my way over to the wall by the computer console and pulled a hard polymer softball bat from behind the coat rack.
Elektra, catch!
I tossed the bat over the wall of attackers. She caught it on the fly and began whacking away at the gray shell foot soldiers with a new fury and effectiveness. And although the laser rifles weren't effective against the goo, my personal gun certainly was.
Sticky stuff!
The first goo shot pinned one goo attacker to the wall. The second bound two so tightly together that they fell over and began waving their legs like upturned ladybugs. It didn't stop them from functioning. Took them out of the fight. We held our own for a while. The goo attackers weren't all that strong, but they were relentless. Like a bunch of really persistent and annoying toddlers. Their limbs didn't break easily, which was just as well, because any piece that broke off would just grow an entirely new body, as we'd already found out. But they hit hard, and we weren't as indestructible as they were. Worse still, they were constantly trying to wrap their arms or legs around us and pull us down to the floor. I knew if they ever pulled us down, they'd crush us through sheer weight of numbers. I had my armor to protect me to a certain degree, but Elektra had nothing, and that's what scared me the most. When I ran out of glue shots, I switched to the hogtie command, wrapped a bunch of them up in polymer cables. And when I ran out of hogtie, I grabbed a bat and started slugging away along with Elektra. The goo kept coming at us. Elektra and I were standing back to back atop the coffee table, protecting one another as the goo surged around us.
This is your fault, you know.
I know. I'm sorry.
You just came by to pick up my things. Now I'm fighting goo.
I get it. It's my fault. I accept that.
You should.
Not just in this particular case, either. All the danger I put you in over the years, it's all on my head.
You're darn right it is.
And I'm sorry for all the times I've embarrassed you, and all the times you've had to apologize to people for whatever I may have done. That's my fault, too.
Can say that again.
Do you know what's not my fault? The fact that you love me.
What?
That was your choice, Elektra. I may have encouraged it. I know that I welcomed it. But you knew who I was when we met. And you fell in love with me of your own volition.
Yeah, I did.
And I loved you back as well as I could. So we're both to blame, okay? I may have messed things up for it. And you may not love me anymore, but you chose to love me then. And that part is not my fault.
Who says I don't love you anymore?
Don't toy with me here. I'm not in the mood.
I just said that I couldn't live like this anymore, Chico. Yeah. I never said that I stopped loving you. Believe me, I would if I could. Steve knows it would make my life a lot easier.
The goo were around us tightly now. For every hand or body that we'd knock away, a dozen more would take its place. Elektra's pants had been shredded below the knee, and her legs and arms were scraped and cut. My trench coat had been torn off me, my jacket was ripped up the back, and my arms felt like they were ready to fall out of their sockets. And yet none of that seemed to matter at the nano, because Elektra was still in love with me.
Do you have any plans after we finish up here?
I hadn't really planned that far in advance.
Good. Let's go somewhere. I have something for you.
Get us out of here first. Then we'll talk.
Can you remotely control your hover?
I need both hands to work the control, though.
I'll buy you the time. Bring the hover directly over the hole in the roof, but go high. The force field probably has a 10-meter height range. We're gonna have to get to higher ground, so head for the stairs.
Ready when you are.
I wanted so badly to kiss her then. Just one brief taste of her lips would have given me such strength. But she'd only just now stopped yelling at me, so I figured I shouldn't push things. So instead, I turned and leapt from the table into the goo horde. I knocked half a dozen attackers off their feet as I landed, making a momentary pathway through the fray.
Go!
Electra jumped from the table and used me as a stepping stone to skip past the horde on her way to the stairway. A few of the goo tried to follow her, but I swatted them aside from behind, even as the ones around me began pulling me down.
Zack!
I looked up at her from the floor and saw the conflict in her eyes. She was ready to jump back into the fray to help me, and I loved her for it.
Go! I'm right behind you!
I threw my bat at a goo who was climbing the stairway behind her, hitting it in the head, and knocking it back down to the floor. Then I started to go under as the goo surged again. I grabbed the coat rack and swung it around like a quarterstaff, clearing enough room for me to get to my feet. Then I held the hefty rack horizontally and charged, pushing at the horde like a pig-headed snowplow against a trillion evil snowflakes. I saw an opening and headed up the stairway. Electra was waiting for me on the second floor, just beneath the hole in the roof, maneuvering the hover into position.
You know, this isn't the way I imagined this going.
Imagined what going?
I'll tell you later. How's the hover?
About 10 meters straight up. What's your plan?
I popped my gun into my hand.
Big bang!
I put a blast into the hallway ceiling. The ceiling supports gave way, and the hallway collapsed around the goo.
That'll buy us some time, but my insurance agent is really gonna hate me.
I went to the end of the hallway, stood beside Electra, and looked up through the hole in the roof at the hovercraft above us.
Tarzan!
I took careful aim and fired. A tiny magnetic grappling hook and cable shot from the gun toward the hover and latched onto the craft's underbelly. I turned and held up my arm to Electra.
I'll hold you. You'll have to drive the hover.
She walked into my arms without hesitation and wrapped herself around me. I held her tightly for dear life. In more ways than one.
I'm taking us up, Chico.
Wait, hang on.
I reached into my pants pocket and pulled out the tiny black box that I'd taken from Bushy's vault. Then I wrapped my arm around her and slipped it into the pocket of Electra's jeans.
A little something for later.
Fine. Now hold on tight.
Gladly.
The strain on my arms was enormous as the hover lifted us into the air and up through the hole in the roof, but there was no way I was letting her go.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm glad you were here with me for this.
Why? Is Sexy not so good in a fight?
Are you kidding? Every time there's been one of these Let's Kill Zack things, she's been cowering in the corner. No help whatsoever. Huh.
And that was when things started coming together.